Can a stepmother successfully raise another woman's children? Colgate All-Purpose Tooth Powder presents the real-life story of Kay Fairchild, a stepmother who tried. In thousands of homes these days, mothers are having this happy experience. Yesterday, Mrs. Jackson bought some Colgate tooth powder in the money-saving one-cent sale. And now, it's the next morning.
Bobby, come to breakfast, dear.
I'll be there in just a second. I just have to comb my hair.
Be sure to brush your teeth.
I already have. Gee, Mom, wherever did you get this wonderful kind of tooth powder? It tastes keen.
Oh, Aunt Marion told me about it. She said your cousins are crazy about it.
Do you like it?
It's swell. I hated that stuff we used to have, but this Colgate powder tastes good. Get this kind always, will you, Mom?
Now, there's a tip many mothers can profit by. If you have to coax your youngsters to brush their teeth, why not try tempting them for a change with pleasant-tasting Colgate tooth powder? Children love it. And Colgate All-Purpose Tooth Powder does everything any dentifrice can do. It gently polishes teeth to their full, natural sparkle. It's safe for gum massage. And even young children enjoy the way Colgate's double-rich foam leaves the mouth feeling sweet and refreshed. If you have a big family to buy for, you'll appreciate the saving Colgate offers, too. You can get a large can of Colgate tooth powder for only 1 cent extra when you buy the giant size of Colgate at the regular 40-cent price. And now, Colgate tooth powder presents Kay Fairchild, Stepmother. Mother Fairchild and Edith Wood probably don't like each other, but they have one thing in common. They both hate Kay. Their alliance, which was formed some time ago, has received new life, for they believe they've found some new material to work on. Knowing that Kay has been calling at her husband's office frequently of late, Edith has decided to be jealous. Also, in some ingenious way, she found out that Dr. Sanderson called at the Fairchild home the other evening. And she and Mother Fairchild are determined to explore the possible significance of this visit. In fact, today our scene opens in the doctor's office. Mother Fairchild has just been admitted. Listen.
Won't you have a chair, Mrs. Fairchild?
Thank you, Doctor.
And now, what can I do for you? Oh, by the way, you haven't been a patient of mine before. May I ask who recommended me to you?
Well, really, Dr. Sanderson, a man of your standing in Walnut Grove doesn't need any recommendation.
Thank you. Very kind of you to say that.
I think it's so fortunate that you haven't allowed your specialty to take up all your time and attention. It's getting so these days there's hardly a good general practitioner left in the city.
Yes. There is perhaps a growing tendency towards specialization. But about yourself, Mrs. Fairchild.
I'm afraid, Doctor, that when you asked me whether anyone had recommended you to me, I didn't give you quite a complete answer. After all, you are attending other people in my family, aren't you?
Yes, that's true.
I did so much want to get your first-hand opinion. How is the dear girl?
Which dear girl are you speaking about, Mrs. Fairchild?
Well, I know that you called at my son's home the other evening, and...
Yes?
Well, did you go see Kay, my daughter-in-law?
With me, Mrs. Fairchild, every case is a thing unto itself. You must understand that professional ethics won't allow me to discuss one patient with another.
But I have a natural interest in my own son's family. You did go to see Kay, didn't you?
I'm afraid we'll have to confine our conversation to your own complaint, Mrs. Fairchild.
Oh, fiddlesticks, Doctor. I'm an old woman. You don't need to be delicate with me. Just what's the matter with Kay? I think I have a right to know.
Your daughter-in-law was in the best of health when I called the other evening.
Oh, so you went to see Peg, did you?
I must tell you, Mrs. Fairchild, that your questions are a trifle embarrassing. Can't we drop that subject?
So it was my granddaughter you went to see. Come now, Doctor, be quite frank with me.
I haven't anything at all to tell you.
Very well. But I must say I am disappointed in you, Dr. Sanderson.
Was there any other reason why you came to see me?
Oh, of course. I wouldn't want you to think I came here just to pry information off of you. Naturally, I can find out for myself the answers to the questions I asked you.
You haven't been feeling well?
Oh, give me something for a head cold. I might have some other complaints, too. But I don't care to waste any more of your valuable time.
So Mother Fairchild finds out precisely nothing from Dr. Sanderson. But when Peg fainted the other night and the doctor carried her up to her room, what were his findings? Well, Peg herself doesn't know yet, but she'll have to be told. And if it's that cares in her mind now, she walks into the room where Peg is sitting up in bed.
Well, Peggy, how do you feel this afternoon?
I feel all right. Why do I have to stay in bed?
Oh, simply because the doctor said you should. If you feel all right, you can get up tomorrow.
You've been avoiding that subject with the doctor, haven't you?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see any reason to talk about the doctor until you've had a little rest and calmed down a bit.
Well, I'm as calm as I'll ever be. What did he say?
Well, in the first place, you're on a diet.
What kind of diet?
Oh, not at all a severe one. You'll find it very easy to follow.
What did he say?
You're on your way to becoming a mother, my dear.
No. No.
Now, don't get excited. That certainly can't surprise you so much.
I don't believe it.
Of course you believe it. I wouldn't tell you that if it weren't true. And there's nothing to get upset about.
Nothing to get upset about? Please,
honey, you mustn't act this way now. Everything is perfectly all right.
I want to die. I want to die right now.
No, you don't. You have a double reason for living now.
A baby. What do I do with a baby?
What does everyone else do with babies? Keep them well and strong and try to bring them up.
It's not the same with other people. Me, you know that. I can't have a baby if I don't have a husband.
But you never stop telling me that you do have a husband.
I'm married to him, but I don't have him. I don't know where he is. So a baby's just out of the question, Kay. It's impossible.
Well, you'll get used to the idea in a little while, and then it won't seem so frightening. And then, of course, we have plenty of time to find Bertel. Or maybe he'll come back of his own accord.
Suppose he doesn't. Suppose I never see him again. What would I do with a baby? How would I take care of it? Where would I live?
Now, there's no use supposing that everything is going to turn out for the worst, Peg. Those are all questions we can think about later if we have to.
Suppose I could keep on living here at home, letting Dad and you support me and a baby? Living here with you just as though nothing had happened?
It's nothing we need to worry about now. Those are bridges we can cross when we come to them.
Think of the shame. That's the awful part. Never, never again will I be able to look any of my friends in the face.
Why, there's no shame involved, my dear. There's nothing in the world less shameful than having a baby.
But under these awful circumstances, why does it have to turn out this way? I wouldn't mind a baby. Maybe I'd like it. I guess I would if things were different. If I had a home to live in and a husband, the way I planned. I thought that if only we could be married, everything would be fine. We'd come back here to Walnut Grove and announce it to our friends, and we'd get a little apartment. We got married, all right. Only I haven't got a husband.
Now just try to calm down, Peggy. Everything's going to be all right. Bert hasn't disappeared off the face of the earth, you know. He's somewhere, and there must be some way of getting in touch with him.
I've given up hope of ever seeing him again.
No, you haven't given up hope. All you're doing is just trying to make yourself miserable, and you must quit it.
Kay, I can't stay here in Walnut Grove. I want to go away someplace. Go away where none of my friends will know where I am or ever see me again.
Oh, nonsense. Now, where would you go?
I don't know any place at all. Just so it's far away from this town.
Through an experience like this, you'd like to be all alone? Away from Matty and me?
Oh, no, I don't mean that. I want you and Matty to be there. Look, Kate, can't we all go away?
I'm afraid the suggestion isn't a very practical one, Peg.
Dad's up in Chicago. You say maybe he's going to get a job up there.
Can't we all go to Chicago right away?
Well, your father doesn't know anything yet about this little predicament we're in. Of course, sooner or later, he'll have to be told.
Oh, no. No, don't tell him. I don't want him to know.
I think we ought to wait at least until he has his job for sure.
Well, if we can't go to Chicago, let's go somewhere else.
Now, Peggy, we'd better just forget about that. We can't root up all our connections here in Walnut Grove overnight, you know. Why, Bud's in high school and practically all of our friends are here.
But that's just the point, our friends. I want to get away from our friends. Hey, there's no use talking. I just can't stand the awful shame of it.
And I tell you, there's no shame involved.
Don't pretend not to understand me, Kay. You know what I'm talking about. They'll never, never believe that I'm married. Whoever would tell of a girl like me being married, not being able to produce her husband? Did you ever hear of such a thing before?
Well, no, not exactly.
If it had happened to someone else, say Hazel Martin, would you believe that she was married?
If she said so and seemed sincere, I think I'd believe her.
Then you're a lot more generous than the other people in this town. Oh, it's like an awful nightmare. I just can't believe it. Okay, maybe the doctor was wrong.
I'm afraid we can't count on that, Greg. Dr. Sanderson doesn't make that kind of mistake, and he didn't say maybe.
Don't keep killing off every little bit of hope I have. Just driving me farther and farther into a corner. What can I do? What in the world can I do, Kate?
There's nothing to do except to think calmly and sensibly.
I can't. Not without Bert. If he comes back, I can't go through with it. I'll drown myself in the river. I swear I will.
Peg, you mustn't say things like that. You mustn't have this thought in your mind.
But I mean it, Kate, and you'd better believe that.
Well, I won't believe it. But I'll do what I can to find Bert Weston. I'll move heaven and earth to get in touch with him. You can depend on that, Peg.
Poor Peggy. What a situation for a 19-year-old girl. Her mood is desperate. And unquestionably, Kay understands that. Finding Bert Weston becomes a matter of absolute necessity. But there's no telling how difficult a job it may turn out to be. And now, a word about Colgate tooth powder. Is it necessary, do you think, to tell your husband the whole truth about everything? I don't think so. If he teases you, for instance, about always looking for bargains, why don't you just do this? Buy a can of Colgate tooth powder at the regular 40-cent price, hand the clerk another penny, and get a large can of Colgate besides. And then go home with your money-saving bargain and just don't say a thing about it. He'll be crazy about Colgate tooth powder all right when he tries it. He'll like the way it polishes his teeth and brings out all the natural brilliance. He'll go for the way it sweetens his breath. He'll find it safe for gum massage. This Colgate tooth powder is swell, he'll say. Let's use it always. And you can just say, yes, dear, and not say a word about it being such a bargain. Well, tomorrow Kay goes to work in earnest to locate Bert Weston. She needs help for a job of this size, and she knows it. The friend she turns to has some good suggestions and some that are not so good. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for Kay Fairchild's Stepmother, brought to you by the makers of Colgate All-Purpose Tooth Powder. This is Carlton Cadell speaking. The kiss test proves beyond all doubt that Cashmere Bouquet Lotion beautifies your hands. Let your lips lightly press the back of your hand. Feel the slightest rough, ragged sensation? Smooth on a few drops of Cashmere Bouquet Lotion. It dries in 10 seconds without any gooey effect. Now, kiss your hands again. Isn't the difference startling? See how much smoother they seem. And here's wonderful news. You can still take advantage of our sensational 1 cent sale on Cashmere Bouquet Lotion. For when you buy the giant bottle at the regular 35-cent price, you'll get a large bottle with it for just 1 penny more. Isn't that a whopping saving? It gives you a bottle for the bathroom and one for the kitchen. Remember, the giant bottle of cashmere bouquet lotion costs 35 cents, and with it comes a large bottle also for only 1 penny extra. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.